Welcome to Tavern Tales Family Edition. We are continuing the trend with invitational DMs to guide our Order of the D team through some fun adventures. And this adventure is from none other than Nathan, on Twitter as @notanothernate. Nathan is often streaming on Twitch and always available for hire. Look for his details in the show notes, and now, on to the adventure.
Lost but marching on, like we've always known the trail. Searching for our ending to the fairy tale. Sometimes even shooting stars find wishes then miss their marks. But when the night gets too dark and the road home seems too far, we'll see the sun come up again. We will climb higher than we've been. We got a fire that burns within. We are the dragon hearted, and we are the dragon hearted. Courage to stop again and more. Together we stand 30 feet tall. We got a fire that burns within. We are the dragon hearted, and we are the dragon hearted.
Hello, and welcome back to yet another Tavern Tales Family Edition. I am proud every year to put away the normal Tavern Tales game and sit down with my family for another adventure of the Order of the D. Today, we are overblessed to have Nathan at Not Another Nate on Twitter. You can find him on Twitch. You can find him on social media. Please go out and check his work. And you might remember him as the devoted druid with a whole bunch of interpersonal problems, Fauna from Morty's Devils. Nathan, welcome to the table.
Thank you all. It's been a while, and I appreciate getting here and jumping in and being able to jump on and play a game.
I'm super excited.
We're starting fresh one morning. It's early spring, and there's still some coolness in the air, and yet there is the hope of a noonday sun that will break and make the day brighter. There's some clouds in the sky right now as you all are going about putting away camp and making sure that you have everything stowed away to continue on your journey to whatever city you're going to next. Who is up earliest in the morning? Who's the first one that is awake?
I think Than is, because she does like prayers.
Okay, so what do we see when we see Than?
Than is praying over the fire embers and the last kind of the last little bits of the fire because of Bahamut, and fire is a very elemental feeling.
Absolutely. Yeah, the last embers are slowly dwindling down, and the smoke is still rising off them from the cool and wet morning. Who's next? Is there anyone else up?
It's probably Flaria. She's like sitting on top of the cart, just like writing notes and song ideas and keeping stock of things all at the same time. Like, it's like, oh, I accidentally wrote my note for what we're doing tomorrow a part of myself.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And there's some late night ramblings where you're up late last night trying to regale the tale of one of your past adventures. And this morning you're eyeing it groggily, trying to figure out what are those words I was writing? That doesn't actually rhyme, but it's okay. We still have this and this and this. Who's next? Who else? Anyone else up, or anyone else asleep? Where's Coasty?
Coasty wakes up, and he wakes up around the fire because he fell asleep in his chair that he was sitting in around the fire. He wakes up and he puts down his practice dummy to slash and hit at, and he actually ends up slicing right through it.
Right through the dummy? Oh, didn't know Coasty's own strength. Okay, good. And where is our last member?
Well, he sleeps under the cart because that's nice and protected. And Benson is still lightly snoring away
because he has first watch. And he starts to hear the sounds of movement at the camp. He hears Kosti cursing under his breath because he's cut through his training dummy. He hears Valeria singing her tuneless songs, but he smells the eggs that Thayan is making. And he says, "Oh, breakfast already? Oh, I'm such a lucky fellow." He crawls out from underneath the cart, and you can see he's in his pristine red robes with their gold embroidery. He's putting his slippers back on, and he's rolling up his bedroll.
Absolutely. So time passes, and you're able to get ready and take a leisurely pace. It's a very much an overcast morning already. It almost still looks dark, even though you know the sun is out. And a little bit up the way, you start to hear this... What is that? Is that... Sounds like voices, but it's right off the roadside, probably, you know, 100 yards or so. You hear the voices, and then you'll hear laughter, or you hear something. It's very strange, but it sounds almost like, it sounds like small voices, like kids or not loud voices. They're just, but there sounds like there's a lot of them. They're up ahead. What would you like to do?
Well, I'm guiding the cart, so I'll nicker to Jerry and Bashy, our two horses, our two big Clydesdale horses, to slow down. And I will look to the party and shrug my shoulders.
I wonder what could be over that way.
Yeah, let's check it out.
I'm down.
All right. Shall we go forward stealthily, or shall we walk out and make a big clamor to know what they are and who we are?
If we don't sort of acknowledge our existence... And we surprise them, then we seem like rogues. But we are not that. So why should we pretend?
That is true. No one in this party is a rogue. All right, well, Valeria, do you wish to take the lead, or shall Kosti? I will stay in the back, as I always do.
Oh, you're so lazy. Yeah, sure, I'll take the lead.
All right.
Bensaw once again looks sad when he's told he's lazy, and then he hobbles the horses and sets the cart, and he's the last out, and making sure that nothing on the cart is going to be upset. The burner's turned off, and the fridge door is closed, and the back door's locked.
Absolutely. You got to turn the AC down. There's a copse of trees up ahead, and you can...
Look, it's cops!
Yeah, watch out. Run. There's a copse of trees up ahead, and you can see moving figures, small moving figures through the brush as you start to push forward a little bit. It looks like a group of small humanoids. Do you speak Draconic?
Is that a question?
Yes.
I mean, I am a dragonborn.
Just like I'm asking to double check. You never know.
Yes, I do. In fact, speak Draconic.
Okay, good. You hear up ahead, you hear voices in a Draconic language coming out of something pretty small. It's probably something you all have, these entities are probably something that you all have tangled with before. But as you kind of slip to the trees, you see a large group of kobolds as they are all sitting around a large pit. The pit does not have a fire in it. The pit leads into the mouth of a cave that leads kind of straight down. Outside of the pit, you see a large ring of kobolds all sitting around this, almost like an amphitheater. It's this little thing. And then there's one in the center who has something in his hands that seems to be moving. It's very strange because you can't really quite make it out. You have to get closer to make everything out, or you can try a roll. But from here, it looks like he's holding whatever this thing is up to the kobolds around him and like walking around in front of them. What would you all like to do?
He's a public speaker. Get him!
What does Valeria actually say?
She's like, there's a bunch of kobolds. One of them is probably a public speaker.
Oh, how many kobolds?
30?
Probably not too far off. There's a lot, but maybe not quite that
I wonder
many.
If they are doing some sort of religious ceremony. We would not wish to intrude too much. Let us perhaps stand at the edge of the copse of trees out on the plain so they can see us and we'll like casually wave or something. What do you say?
Yes, we should announce our presence.
Mm-hmm. We should.
Okay. Hello? Hello over there. Sorry to interrupt.
So I think as you kind of break through these little pine shrubs and say your hellos, the kobold that is standing in the middle and has the thing in his hands looks up and goes, in Draconic says, "Intruders, what do you wish of us?"
"Oh, we just heard your voices from the road and wanted to investigate. It sounded like some merrymaking, maybe some sort of ceremony. It's been a while since we saw some people."
This creature walks up as they are speaking to you. They walk over to one of the kobolds that are in a ring around them and take whatever they're holding in their hands and, like, put it up to the kobold. Make a die roll real quick, see what happens. Would anyone like to give me a roll to see what they're doing?
Sure. What are we rolling? Perception? Investigation?
Either one. Either you tell me how you're using the skill. I think either one works. As you are kind of figuring out what in the world are they doing, the thing in the leader's hands seems to spray at the kobold that he's around. You see that kobold kind of gasp at his eyes and wring his eyes, and kind of sits down on the ground. The leader seems nonpulsed at this and just continues walking around in a circle.
I have a 16 perception check. How did everybody else do?
Anyone else?
6.
18.
All right.
24.
Look at this.
What?
So,
wait, did you get a natural 20?
Mm-hmm.
Then we have to cheer.
The Order of the Deed!
I was about to say the Heart of Humblewood.
Yes, you were.
I said the Order of the Deed.
Yes, you did.
So, Than, you're too busy looking. What is going on? And as you look around, you notice several of the other kobolds are either down on the ground, grasping at their face. One seems to be throwing up. It's the strangest thing ever. The others of you see, Benson, you see that it looks like, what is that, a creature in the leader's hands? Is it, looks like a black and white creature of some kind. He's holding it under one arm tucked. It looks like it's almost half the size of a kobold, probably 20, 30 pounds. Costa, you see that this creature appears to be, it looks like a skunk. Are they spraying each other with a skunk? Flaria, you see that, you take this all in and you actually watch now as you see this, as the leader sprays the next person around. Let's see what happens. One.
That's so funny.
The smell that comes out of this time of the skunk is pleasant. It almost smells like your favorite dish or some one of your favorite smells. It's very strange. You think that you remember, maybe, Flaria, that this was a way that some kobold tribes declare their next leader. They do strange things, and this seems like one of those rituals you may have stumbled upon. The leader goes, "Are you going to disturb our... We have to get this done. We were supposed to be done... We were supposed to be done hours ago. But Peppy..." He lifts up the skunk. "Peppy..." "Peppy can't. He won't make us big. Won't make us big. We don't know. I made big. I was Laugh's chief. Now I pass on to others. I don't know. Anybody want to do anything?"
"Sorry, you said the thing is Pepe? What is it? Do you know what that thing is?"
"It's a skunk."
"Oh, I will keep my distance. Yes, no, thank you so much."
"No, this is Pepe. He's our skunk. He's our, not yours. He's our
skunk." "Yes, your skunk."
And as he says that, he turns to the next, basically the next kobold line and sprays that kobold. And you see that kobold goes down holding their eyes. And you see after a couple of minutes, even the ones that have been sprayed kind of get back in line and are going at it again. Looks like they've been doing this for a while. And now as you get a little closer, maybe you see the shuffling of feet constantly as the line just keeps reforming and keeps reforming. And well, let me know what you want to do.
They're trying to get a new leader.
Yeah, Flaria, maybe you've heard of these rituals, other ways that some tribes fight or some tribes go find things or some tribes, who knows what happens. But this seems to be, looks like they're looking for the skunk to do something specific to one of them to make them the next leader.
Costi, you are good with animals, yes, no?
Yeah.
You always are stroking and petting the Bashi and the Jerry, and you have your frog. Do you think you could help them with the skunk? And to make the skunk a little more inclined to choose the next leader.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Excuse me. Sorry to interrupt your delightful leadership choosing ritual. However, my dear friend here, Costi, is very good with animals. And perhaps he could communicate with Pepe and get him in the mood to make a choice.
Oh, you... You do that? You talk to Pepe. We choose next leader, and then we go back to sleep. We no sleep for days.
No sleep for days. Oh, Pepe must be exhausted. Yes, no.
yes. That's yes. But our rules say that Pepe must choose.
I walk over to Pepe and I stroke him.
Okay. Yeah, the kobold hands you, like, holds up Pepe to you, and you, as soon as you touch Pepe, they just kind of curl into your chest, like holding a cat or a puppy that you like, and you almost feel like, are they purring a little bit? Yeah, maybe.
I want to roll an animal handling.
Let's do it.
Check.
Ho, 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 ho! It's not a nat 20, but what'd you get?
24.
As you look Pepe over, they just snuggle right into you, and you can tell that they're tired. They are just exhausted, almost like you walked 20 or 30 miles in a day, and just at the end of the day, just can't hardly do anything anymore. They need something to pep them up. They need some pep themselves, or they need something to make how they normally spread. They need something to help keep it going. You've heard of this creature before, Kosti. This is an alchemical skunk. And you know that it shoots out different alchemicals like a skunk normally would instead of stink spray. And this one just seems to be out of alchemicals. It has no resources left. But the kobolds just keep pushing at it and keep pushing at it because they need, according to their rules, for the ruler to be chosen. You know that you can either heal or maybe a potion maker or anything that would be potion, anything that would be magic related would help this thing. Does anyone have anything?
I need a heal on aisle 10.
Okay, that's Thane's cue.
Has Thane ever healed a skunk before?
No.
The lowest, no. Yeah, if you have something, either any kind of healing, any kind of check, any kind of anything would do it, just so you don't waste something, but...
Spare the dying. Oh, she has medicine with that.
Yeah, that would do it, absolutely.
Okay, so I'll just do a medicine check to see, like, how much juice does this skunk need?
Nah, I mean, just...
rolling terribly.
So that's a 10.
You know that it probably needs something of magic variety, or it needs a spell component or something like that. You've heard that they don't alchemically skunks were made a long time ago by supposedly wizards that kind of traded and did some different things. And as part of that, they don't heal quite like everything else does. So they need this little Pepe needs something to pep it up.
So I'm going to do a healing word.
Okay.
That way you don't have to touch the skunk.
Also that. It can be from the distance. And also it's only a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So what does it look like when Thane cast healing word on a skunk?
So healing word is, again, from a distance. So she starts to speak in like a draconic version of our holy words. But like ancient... draconic, I feel like, because it's Bahamut who's her patron. And she, you know, holds her holy symbol, which is a chain on like a necklace or something like that, that she holds out. And then she's like,
oh, I love that. But keep that for another character.
Yeah, like start that. But yeah, like, and it translates roughly to like, Bahamut, please cast your blessing upon this alchemical creature and heal it of its exhaustion and wounds.
Awesome. And Kosti, how do you know that the skunk is feeling better?
It shoots out some chemicals and it smells different for everybody there.
Ah, yeah, okay. Is it a good smell? So,
are you saying it sprays Kosti?
Is it a good smell?
No.
I totally wanted to spray Kosti.
Doesn't.
I heal it for down. 5.
Awesome. So Pepe looks, well, all pepped up now. The eyes are brighter, the tail's a little bushier, the hair is not as matted and kind of broken down a little bit. Maybe even some of the gray hairs are gone. Wish I could have the same healing word. And the chief takes back Pepe and raises Pepe high in the sky around, which is not very high because they're like 2 foot tall. And then the kobolds around start cheering, and they get in line real quick. And as the chief starts spraying people individually, you see the first couple go down. Pepe sprays the first couple. One gets sprayed with a laughing gas, and then a sleeping fog, and they fall over asleep. And then lastly, it looks like a small female kobold steps forward, and the skunk sprays her. And all of a sudden, she enlarges and gets 4 or 5 times as big. And all the kobolds start cheering.
Oh, I get it now. he was talking about how we make big, and that's how they're indicating.
Oh, yes, I got that right there.
I cheer as well.
Yeah, everybody cheers.
Do we all cheer as well?
Yeah, we're all going to cheer. Woo!
Hurrah! It is bordering on the insensitive, just so you know.
The new chief has a great big smile on her face, and everybody kind of looks to her, and the old chief looks and says, what's your first order? And the new chief says, we all go back to sleep. And so the chief thanks you all. The chief says, I guess everybody starts filing back down into the tunnels and walking away. The new chief and the old chief stand there and say, thank you for helping. We would not have been able to do this. We appreciate it.
Oh, yes, of course. What was your name?
I am Brack. And this, well, she picks her name. And the new chief, who is enlarged, again, probably almost y'all's height now, which is weird seeing a kobold that's 5-6 feet tall.
What a glorious tale.
She says, I'm Plank. Thank you from the Skunk Tribe. We thank you. And she looks over the old chief, and the old chief passes you, okay, so we have a little bit of copper, some few coppers we have, but we want to thank you and appreciate you all, your all's help. I know this isn't much, but it's what we have, and we want to give it to you all. And, like, hand you a small bag of coppers.
Thank you so much for this very, very heavy, weighty gift. It was just a pleasure to get to experience your ritual and be a part of this very important ceremony for your people.
Yeah, give me that.
All right. So then Plank and Brack slowly make their way down into the tunnel, as look like they're going to go do the nocturnal kobold thing and probably sleep during the day. And I think as they walk, the last little bit of them walking into the tunnel, that the clouds break and the sun starts to come out and it begins to warm up almost immediately.
Oh, well, thank you, environment, for telling us we have done a good thing. Yes, no?
That is the blessings of our gods.
Can you roll percentile dice for me? And whichever of the dice is the higher one, that'll be the tens column.
60 and a 20.
So 62 copper. There we go.
62 cents.
Yep.
Hey, to a kobold, that's a lot.
69.
That is.
So you all make your way back to the cart and the horses. And Jerry and Bashy are still standing there nibbling on some grass that they've been able to get at while they're hobbled. And you all start to make your way down the road. Is there anything?
Onwards.
Yeah. Yay. Is there anything you're going to do as you're looking for? Anything that is something that you are always on the lookout for? Because you all are on the road a lot, right?
We seem to be forever on the road. How is your knitting going, Thane?
Thane knits.
Yes. Yeah, that's all right. She just continues to knit.
Thane continues to knit and is knitting currently a scarf.
Oh, come on. I wrote the grocery list on the supply list again.
Is Thane a good knitter?
No.
No?
No.
And does everyone have these failed knittings?
Yes.
But absolutely.
Who actually wears them?
I wear my underwear. It was not meant to be underwear, but it did have 3 holes. So
it was meant to be a hat.
Probably.
I'm pretty sure that you made me like a riding glove.
Yeah.
And like I said I quote-unquote lost it.
Oh, no.
In actuality, I just threw it into the fire one night. Oh, man.
I got a shirt because Coasty's always shirtless. And Coasty put it on and he was like, this is scratching. So his excuse was, I ripped it apart because I'm so strong.
I can see Coasty's shirt finding its way onto a dummy at some point in time.
Oh, absolutely. I also pictured that when he took the shirt off, all of his scales were buffed and polished.
Because
it was like steel wool.
I used a genuine steel wool sheep to knit. Yeah.
Alchemical sheep. Benson is on the lookout with Kosti in the by the wagon. We're constantly pointing at trees and logs and things like that to get a new practice dummy for him to load into the cart.
Kosti usually makes his practice dummies out of like sticks and hay, but his one that he broke was only made out of fans knitting.
That was the one. Oh,
the
my.
Stuffing. Okay, so along the way, you definitely find the sticks that make good arms and legs for dummies. Definitely some dry grasses and things like that that you can stuff into a, say, a knitted shirt if you had to have one for a practice dummy. Just in case you have a knitted shirt. So you're going along and the wagon's going, you're seeming to be able to keep up with everything. It's getting to be a nicer day. It's a little chill in the air, but it's still a nice day. And up ahead, you see that there is a bridge, and over that bridge seems to be like a boat of some kind. Like it leads down into the lake. The bridge opens up, goes across this little area of the lake, but it seems like the lake opens up quite large, maybe to your west.
Oh, I was not expecting a large bridge and no lake in this. Are we going the right way? Is the map coherent? Flaria?
Huh? What?
Are we at the lake already? Is there a lake on the map?
Like, Flaria has been really tired lately because she had the latest watch.
Oh, okay.
So, like, because they've been, like, just throwing the latest watch at her. So she's like, what? Oh, yes. Why is there a sandcastle on here?
Oh, I do not know.
Hand me the map. That's not a sandcastle. That's, here you go. You're good at maps.
Thane is passing the map to you.
I don't think Thane's actually that good at maps.
We're still moving forward, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're about this time you're heading.
So, oh, wait. Can we go swimming?
So Benson notices that Thane is holding the map upside down.
Okay, he just assumes that that's probably the right way up then.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it from the other angle, then you'd have to look at it right side up. This is upside down, which is what do you do when you're on top of a wagon? I mean, it's just how things go.
Exactly.
Can we go swimming?
Yeah, you go over top of the bridge. The water seems to be flowing quite rapidly down out underneath you and in pools into this large lake. Looks like it was probably not made naturally. It had to be made in some other way because there's no mountains around. It's pretty flat. It's kind of weird to see a lake. You see up ahead that there's a small group of houses. It looks like a hamlet of some kind or a fishing village, something like that.
Damn, this is a nice bridge.
Kosti looks for any rockety planks or anything that we might fall through.
Okay, give me a roll.
Investigation.
Absolutely.
That was easy.
12.
Ah, you see that it looks like there may be, the actual planks that you're going across seem fine, but the railings on one of the sides seems to be a little weaker than the other. So you definitely tell everyone to be careful and not touch that railing.
Everybody, don't touch that railing.
So, Kosti, I've had an inspection. Is the bridge safe for our cart?
Yeah.
Well, we proceed on to the bridge.
Absolutely. Then. And your cart makes it across just fine, no big deal. But you definitely see that there looks to be some, again, the fast-running water is moving pretty swiftly underneath here, and if you went off, it would be very bad. As you pull forward across the bridge and over into the little hamlet, it looks like it may be a nice spot to stop in, resupply, see what all you need, talk to the people, make sure there's nothing up ahead that would be an issue for you or anything like that.
This seems like a nice little hamlet to stop and resupply and pick up anything we might need. Maybe take in some sights while we are here.
Huh. It would be nice to get a warm meal.
What does everybody want?
Is there a town placard or sign?
There is. It looks like it's been hand painted on wood, and it actually, is that weird? It says Isle and Land. Isle, Land.
I-S-L-E or I apostrophe L-L?
I-S-L-E.
Or A-I.
I-S, see, now I've got it hooked on phonics. I-S-L-E, and then land.
I'll land, as opposed to, like, you know, Rose in a tavern or something like that, an aisle in a store. I'll think about this one for a long time.
So as you start to pull off the cart to kind of go over that way, you do see that there are several people milling about the town. It's probably 20, 25 different buildings, all look like small huts or small crude shacks of some kind, decently made, but still not anything where you're going to be. It's not a town by far. And a couple of people come see you all coming and wave, and a couple of humans start making their way over towards you.
Hello!
Blobby hops off of me and then walks into my pants.
And what color is Blobby?
Depending on the daytime, yep, he changes color.
What color is he right now?
Well, now he's orange.
Oh, I like that.
Orange on a green dragonborn.
The two humans come walking over, and they look like a middle-aged couple. They're actually holding hands and walking over and waving. The woman speaks up and says, hi, y'all. How are you all?
We're pretty good.
I'm Amy, and this is Tavis. We're the caretakers here at the village. Y'all come for something? If you did, I'm sorry, but we ain't got much, but come on in. Y'all need a bite to eat or anything?
Oh, that would be lovely. You don't happen to have a inn, a tavern, or a general store?
Do you have any problems around?
We got a problem, but we don't have an inn. But we do have a place that you could set up and stay if you wanted. But we don't have a general store. But we do have goods. So yeah, we got some of them, and we ain't got the other ones.
Tell us more about this problem.
Well, you see, it's springtime. Well, Tavis, you tell him. And Tavis is a gentleman who stands beside her. Again, looks like he's middle-aged, probably upper 40s. Has led a life outdoors. Wears nice clothing. You know, wears decent clothing for working outdoors. But wears boots and kind of coveralls on. And Tavis goes, well, we got a fish problem, you see. We're here in Iceland. I never get that right. We're an island, and we're supposed to be watching over these fish that are in the lake here, but we ain't seen them in a while, and we don't know really what to do, what's happened with them. Used to be prettiest thing fish you ever seen jumping around out there, but they've gone missing or something. We ain't been able to see them.
Has anyone been, like, catching the fish, or...
I'm sorry. No, this ain't like catching fish. These are like watching fish. So these fish, they're big. They're real big. And they're real pretty. And so, like, this time of year, that's when all the little babies come up, too. And the mamas and the papas bring the babies up. And then they all swim together, and it makes it real nice. And lots of people come here to the village, and they bring up, you know, they, like, pay for things and do things. But there ain't been a fish sighted since fall. They all went under and ain't come back up for spring yet. We ain't for sure what's going on.
This is very interesting. How long has that really nice bridge been there?
Amy, when we put that bridge in, and Amy looks over and goes, well, dear, I think we put that in about 2-3 summers ago. There was an old junky one there, and then more water started pouring in. You see, this lake ain't natural. A wizard made it a bunch of years back on account of they were messing with something. Some magic blew up, and the lake just kind of formed.
Oh, and the fish are a result of that.
Yeah, we reckon so. Yeah, we think that whatever magic magistered there, you know, the major, whatever them, whatever magic they released out into this made these fish. And well, it's nice for us because the mage ain't here no more. And the fish are, and we like the fish. So, well, I guess they used to be here. They ain't here now.
This is very intriguing. The wizard is gone, though, yes? No?
Yeah, they left a bunch of years back. We settled down here. Some of us settled down here. We wanted to get out of the city, and we just wanted to be a quiet place. And then we saw the fish and kind of started this annual thing where folks come from all around to see the fish, but there ain't no fish right now.
It's very, very puzzling. I wonder, well, we cannot go and resolve this today by walking out onto the lake. So, why don't we, we'll have a look at this problem of yours. I would like to see the fish. Yes, no?
That seems enjoyable.
Tavis, Amy, tell us, where can we stay and put up our camp and perhaps get some restocking and resupplies, and we will look into this problem for you. We are adventurers of a sort. You may not know that, but that's what we are. And we are called the Order of the D. We are, I am Benson. This is
our monk and performing friend, Flaria. She would also like to put on a concert for your townsfolk. Typically, that is what she does, and sings of our exploits and entertaining songs of value.
And sometimes about our grocery store shopping.
Were in the aisle.
That's the wrong lyrics.
That might be the wrong type of aisle. But this is Thane.
Hello.
She is a cleric of Bahamut and would love to tell your people more about Bahamut's pleasures and delights. No doubt. Yes, no?
Pleasures, delights?
I mean, it is a god. He's doubtlessly full of pleasure and delight.
More about piety and reverence.
Yes, yes, those things especially. Those are the delights I am talking about. And this is Kosti, our soldier and warrior friend who is very good with a sharp stick.
You mean sword?
Exactly.
Well, nice to meet y'all. We appreciate y'all coming down. Yeah, bring your wagon up here and we'll get y'all settled in one of the longhouses over here and we'll get you set up with some supplies and whatever y'all need. And so Amy and Tavis kind of wave you over and let you bring in your wagon in and unhitch your horses and do your normal thing just kind of as you look around. You do see that there are several other towns roughly in the same kind of clothes. Looks like there is, now that you're here, you see that there is a place where they're storing dry goods and a place where they have a blacksmith and just the bare essentials for what you would see in a little hamlet. They do have a bunch of fishing boats that are out on the look like a dock, not much of a beach by large, but basically it looks like a large crater was formed in the ground and then it started filling up with water and it just kept filling up.
Well, we can't tell from here, but is there an estuary where the water recedes, another river that was formed on the other side?
It flows out the other side, down a mile or so, down more to the south. But this water comes from the north, and she kind of points where the bridge was, and then flows in here and hangs in here for a while, and then it's starting to flow over the top.
Yes, so this is a lake formed from an explosion or some sort of thing that was just a former river.
Oh. Yeah, that makes sense, because the water, he didn't create the water, he just created the big boom. So if you all want to go out, we got the boats. If you wanted to take a peek or splash around in there for a little bit, you can have a boat and go on out there. Ain't no big deal with that.
Oh, I mean, what do you say, friends?
Yes.
Yeah. Sure.
We kind of do a bigger lunch type thing. We're fixing that now. If y'all want to go out and take an investigate on it or take a look-see, by the time y'all come back, we'll have this ready and we can all sit down and eat and you can regale us with your tales of delights and shopping. I think that's what I heard.
Excellent. Yes, that would be... Nice. To the oars, Kosti.
Farron, you grab two, I'll grab two.
All right.
So are you all looking for a bigger boat that you can all get into, or a couple smaller boats?
Absolutely.
They have both.
One nice big boat,
that's what you find.
I get a tiny boat small enough for Blobby to fit
Absolutely.
In and two tiny paddles.
And tie it on. You got to make sure you tie it on to the back of yours.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's looks like some kids were down playing in the water. As you go to get in the boat, you see a small boat that someone handmade out of or carved out of wood comes sailing up onto shore. Blobby hops right in and looks like that they are ready to go on an adventure as well.
Okay, that is the weirdest frog I have ever seen. But let us go. And I accidentally wind up on purpose sitting next to Thane on the boat.
No, I'm rowing with...
I take an oar.
So...
Valeria is sitting on the back of the boat, like holding her book open. Like, I cannot believe that I wrote three... Like, I thought I was writing three verses, but no, it was just... I was just repeating the same grocery list.
When Blobby hops inside of a boat, the boat, some water splashes onto him, and his color changes to white.
Oh, all right. So we have the white frog in a handcrafted canoe out behind you, and it's tied on with some string probably, and off you all go out onto the lake. You're able to make good time as you're kind of paddling out into the water. Can I get investigation or some kind of check to see what you see around you?
I have a 12.
I have a 10.
Holy moly. What'd you get there, Kosti?
I have a natural 20.
the Order of the Day!
I almost said the Lord's Own.
Blobby puts his feet into the water and has his hands rowing, and his feet go like...
Nine.
Like a...
Like a duck?
They're like he's like a motorboat. And you notice that the boat goes much faster.
His little boat's starting to pull ahead.
His boat's actually pulling ahead of your all's. And I think for the most part, you all see something in the water or moving in the water. But Kosti, as you see Blobby coming around the side of your boat, you look down and there appears to be the flash of red and blue underneath you. Large shape as it kind of swims up underneath you and then comes almost to the surface and then goes back down real quick. The fin shape and things look like a betta fish. Large, flashy, brilliant red fins trailing out behind. A large 3-foot fin on top with some fins out on the sides. You swear that you see also a large amount of teeth in its mouth.
Are the people that we talked to still there?
They are at the shore if you like to yell at them.
We think we might have saw one of the fish.
Tavis is standing there and he looks, oh, what'd it look like? You sure it wasn't just a fish?
It was red and blue and it was big and it had a whole bunch of teeth.
Oh, yeah. That's them. That's them. Do you see a bunch of them or just the one? Because we ain't seen hardly any, like maybe none at all.
We just saw one.
There should be like a bunch of them in the water. And if there ain't, then there's an issue.
Very interesting. What do you think of this type of fish, Kosti? Have you ever seen anything like this before?
I've seen a fish like this back in the ancient time of the war. They launched a cannon and the last...
The fish launched a cannon?
No.
Oh, okay, that was good. I had a picture in my head, and I'm glad that you've corrected that.
Actually, no, the fish launched a cannon. They had these fishes. They learned how to war. They learned about war, and they were ready to fight back against us.
I never know if these are true stories or fabrications, but...
Have you ever seen the movie Big Fish? Like, Kosti reminds me of the guy from Big Fish.
There was a salmon. It was half off.
There was a fish that could shoot a cannon.
As you all are singing,
salmon with cannon.
You feel a bump in the bottom of your boat.
Oh,
we're sinking.
Was that the fish?
I put my head in the water.
Roll a perception check.
Oh.
Oh, no.
She rolled a one.
Plus.
1 + 5 = 6.
It's really dark. The water is, although, I mean, you're looking underwater. Like, you can imagine putting your face in the bathtub and opening up your eyes and trying to be able to see. You can see that there seemed to be something as it swam past you very quickly, but not much. But you think, yeah, did that fish just bump the boat? And as you pull your face out of the water to do it again, you get bumped again. I need everyone to make dexterity saves as the fish kind of rams the bottom of this boat.
A dexterity roll?
Yes, dexterity saves.
5.
Ooh.
Thane's going in.
22.
All right. Who else? Valeria, what'd you get?
Oh, a 19.
19? Okay.
17.
Oh, okay. So what happens that three of you stay up and are just fine and Thane goes in the water?
Is it that Benson's about to fall in and Thane...
Save you?
Yeah, do you want to... Is that
sure.
Reasonable?
I'll accept your offer.
Okay. Benson flails and panics. Not my robes, I can't get wet! And he starts to fall into the boat and claws at Thane's arm and ends up throwing Thane in the water instead and remains dry himself, except he's splashed by Thane's armor covered... Are you still wearing your armor?
Yeah, she's wearing her chainmail.
Oh my goodness, chainmail covered
going
form.
In.
I say to the people that we talked to, you guys should really install some lights in the lake because that wouldn't be able to make you guys see the fishes.
No, well, who cares about that? Thane has fallen in.
Because of you.
Thane is in the water. I think we're going to do a dramatic task here. So we're going to have everyone roll some kind of skill roll. We're going to have a skill roll challenge. You're going to need 3 of these to pass in order to get Thane back in the boat. And you can use whatever skill you want to.
Strength.
Sounds good to me. All right. So what skill is Kosti going to use?
Strength.
Strength? Which are you going to use, athletics, or is that...
Strength is athletics,
okay, yes. So why don't you roll an athletics check, and if you beat a 15, tell me.
Nine,
okay. Tell me what happens.
Because Coasty sees Blobby, and he almost grabbed Blobby, so he stumbles and falls out of the boat.
Coasty now falls out of the boat?
Yep.
All right. Coasty falls out of the boat.
He was 5 less than you needed on the check.
I can
so
see that.
That makes good sense.
All right. Benson and Falaria, what are you doing?
Falaria almost drops her notebook into the water.
Ooh, okay. Are you going to try to help get Coasty or Thayan back in the boat? Or are you more worried about your book?
I don't notice that either one of them have fallen because my book is like dangerously close to getting ruined by the water. It's not very water protected.
All right.
So Valeria is going to try to save her notebook.
Okay, absolutely. If you take this turn off, I'll give you inspiration on whatever you do next. Okay?
Yeah.
So.
Oh my goodness. Fearless we soar, speeding arrows ricochet.
Break free our hearts, burn brighter than yesterday. And through the battles we win. When our shields fall away, the armor cracks and breaks. If ever our torches fade, we'll see the sun come up again. We will climb higher than we've been. We got a fire that burns within. We are the dragon heart, and we are the dragon heart, and courage to stand.
Thanks for listening to Tavern Tales Family. If you enjoyed the episode, please feel free to give us a rating on iTunes. Check us out at www.taverntales.ca or head over to our Patreon. You can find us on Twitter at @tavern_tales. Our intro and outro music is the song Dragonhearted, a single by Tryhard Ninja. Find out more about Tryhard Ninja on Twitter at @TryHardNinja or on iTunes at @TryHardNinja or check out their channel on YouTube, Tryhard Ninja. Thanks again, and see you next week for another adventure. We are the dragon.